have a very soft voice and I lose my voice easily, so they gave me this to help you out. I want to let everyone know that the presentation is being recorded. And so if you're going to have questions, it would be helpful to speak into the microphone. The second thing I'm going to need help with is, since I'm moderating this track, all the track sessions today, I don't have anyone to moderate me. So when it's like 12:10, if someone can just put their hand up so I know I have 5 more minutes. I want to give you guys plenty of time to ask questions. And then we have lunch at 12:30 down the hall on the left where it was yesterday. So I want to make sure we're on time today. Okay, so my name's Anna Lucia Novak. I've been in high-tech industry for 20 years, and I transitioned into working for myself quite by accident, but I'm glad I did, because I really love social media, and I just don't focus on social media. It's pretty much like big business goals, and then how we can improve your online marketing systems so that you can achieve the goals that you want and have the time to implement your strategies. And that's pretty much what, at the end of the day, what I do. I've been asked to help people in marketing agencies like Ignited USA and King Brown Associates. I've been an advisor to some of them. I've provided online training. At the end of the day, I'm an idea generator. I always come up with the best plans and tools that I feel is appropriate for the individual or the company. This is not working. Okay. So today we're going to talk a little bit about how brands can leverage social media to build trust and loyalty. And what I want to revisit, and I'm sure you've been hearing about this throughout the conference, the theme, is that online marketing is a platform and their tools, they balance each other out. But at the end of the day, you're dealing with human beings, and you want to use these platforms and tools to connect with individuals. They're an extension of who you are as a brand. And what gets missed quite often in social media, online marketing, is the human connection. And people have to remember that when you're using social media, that you are representing a company, but you need to come across as a human individual. Social media is reciprocal. It's about connecting with individuals at a human level. It's the old days, people used to shove content down people's throat and commercials and things like that. And so when we think about social media and the type of content that you're creating, you have to keep in mind the relevant platforms, the type of activities that are happening on each of these platforms, and whether or not you're able to have a real-time connection with them. This particular slide demonstrates the cycle of a customer life cycle. The beauty about social media is whenever you're posting content, you're creating instant connections. If they are drawn to the headline that draws them to your website, to me, that's part of the conversion. What happens when they start reading all your content, and if they end up liking and sharing, before you know it, when they land on your website or they land on wherever your call to action is, they've already made up their mind to do business with you. And so it's really, really important to think things through in terms of what can I be doing, what types of content can I be creating, what types of contests, whatever business you're in that's relevant to your audience, and then decide which platform you're going to utilize it. So according to Loyalty 360, 138.8 million people use their mobile phones to get on Facebook. So when I was conducting my online research on how are brands utilizing social media to build trust and loyalty, the majority of these big brands are using Facebook more over than any other channel for engagement with their clients or their customers. And so you got to keep in mind that everyone is already there. Most of the time they're on mobile. They do all their searches, they're reading all the reviews, they're doing their research, and again, you know, by the time they get on your website, they already know that they're ready to buy from you. And so it's really, really important to keep in mind that when you are promoting your content or any type of products or specials, to make sure your website is mobile responsive, make sure that the headlines and the content is very emotional, and it appeals to the human nature. So I'm repeating myself, but social media channels are an extension of you and your brand. So if you remember, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, it's kind of like me being up here. I'm representing myself. I may not always do it perfectly, but at the end of the day, people like real people, real individuals, and it's important to have a well-rounded approach to your online presence, making sure that you are consistent across the board so people know within seconds who you are and what you offer. People, they want to trust you, and they can trust you right away, or they can kind of have a iffy attitude if they're not quite sure. If you appear differently on Facebook than you do on LinkedIn and on Twitter, then they're just not sure if you're an organized company. Content is really important, and so, for instance, people will use Twitter differently than they use Facebook. I have found that social media is very informal. The only time I think people are formal are on LinkedIn. And so, depending on your industry that you're in and the types of products and services that you are wanting to promote and sell, you definitely want to mix up your content that resonates with them. I know video is really big, but you want to keep the video short. You want to leverage humor. Even negative stuff can actually win people over because it shows people what they don't want to be, and maybe that's why they should buy your product. And make sure there's calls to action. People are like sheep, and I'm not saying that to be derogatory, but they like to be told what to do. So make sure your content has information that educates, informs, and adds value, but they know what they're going to be doing by the time they're done reading. And then, of course, the sentiment is really important because, again, it's all about resonating with that particular visitor. Jess Harris was in here before me, and she talked quite often about how they developed their content marketing strategy, and they had learned a painful lesson that they were writing generic content for a generic market, and that doesn't work. What you want to do is understand the type of business owners you're dealing with, and she talked about four different business owners, and freedom seekers, passionate individuals, the struggling business owner, and legacy people. And each of those types of business owners approach social media a little bit differently. The freedom seekers are on all the social media channels, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. The legacy owners and the struggling are only on Facebook. They're not that technical, they don't like tools, they don't, it's very difficult for them to get up to speed. The good part, though, is that they're in content marketing, so you might get those type of people to opt into your email list. So when you're creating content that's designed to develop trust and loyalty, keep in mind that you have four different types of business owners that you are attracting, and create content that's relevant for that. So one of my observations on social media is that there's a lot of great content going out, but not a whole lot of engagement. So it's really important to pay attention to the type of activities that are happening on some of the channels. And the one channel that seems to be robust and active and people are commenting is probably the one channel or the two channels that you should focus on. Don't try to get on to social media platforms that don't resonate with your business, and it's not a good match. You want to be on the platforms where people are hanging out and they're actually participating with your content and responding, and you notice the results in Google Analytics. If the traffic is coming from a specific channel in Google Analytics, then that would probably be a good indication to create content and engage more often on that particular channel. So there's three case studies. American Express and J.P. Morgan Chase. When I was conducting my online research and I was trying to find other case studies that maybe they perhaps on Instagram or Twitter, I found most of them were on Facebook, and it really doesn't surprise me because, again, majority of everyone is on Facebook. It's an informal channel. Everyone is, they're looking for deals, they're looking to get inspired, and then the third one is about how Athleta won me over. So that's my own personal case study. And they use email marketing as their main tool to reach out to me personally. Not when I say personally, I just mean like they knew what kind of person I was and they put the right content in front of me, because every single time, whenever I saw that 50% discount, I bought without even thinking. And their stories that they shared, they represented women that resonated with me about what kind of person I wanted to become. So let's start with American Express. Now, typically I would stand in front, but this is not working, so I apologize if this is a barrier. American Express created an online campaign on Facebook page, and it was not fancy. It was simple. They didn't put too much, you don't have to overthink it. And when you think about what they did, their whole goal was to get more likes. Okay, so I guess their goal was to reach their fans and friends of fans. And they were trying to get their fans to basically share their experiences with American Express, how they're using the card. And to me, that's really encouraging because friends influence each other. We are influencing someone every day, whether we know it or not. But we also like to do what our friends are doing, especially if they're having fun with it. And so they increased their Facebook likes, and they also were able to come across as a very human, interactive company. They're not just the logo, but they do care about their customers, and they do, and they got them to engage, interact with one another. So that was one of the reasons why I picked this particular case study, was because I love hearing stories about fans actually participating in campaigns and promotions, and when they're sharing their experience from one Facebook page to their friends, it creates this viral effect. And as you know, Facebook makes you pay to play, but if fans are liking and commenting and sharing, it actually increases, keeps their content longer in the newsfeed, and it drives particular traffic to their Facebook pages and eventually to their website. The second case study was J.P. Morgan Chase, and their whole goal was to come across as a socially responsible company, and that's a big deal with human beings. They like to be able to know that they are doing business with companies that care about their environment and their communities, and so again, they didn't put, it was not fancy, their promotions was not, they didn't put a whole lot of time into it. What I liked about this particular one was that they focused on runners, they had a race, and it got people really excited about coming together for a common cause. And so when you are thinking about creating any type of content online that's designed to build designed to build your trust and your loyalty, it's really a good idea to think about what your goals are as a corporation or as a small business owner. And if you're involved in the community, it wouldn't hurt to share that type of philosophy online. Now, why I liked about how Athleta won me over, I was not a shopper with Athleta, I was a shopper with Lucy. And then last year I got into yoga, and somehow, some way, I think I had a magazine sent to me. So my first exposure to Athleta was a magazine, and then I bought something online. And when you buy something online, you're in their email list. I opted in, and I've noticed that their emails are, they're a drip system, and they're very well thought out. So once a week, I get an email from them. The first one always features a certain type of a look, and it appeals to a certain kind of a woman. And they know I'm in the San Francisco Bay Area, so they featured landmarks in San Francisco. I saw myself in some of these women, and I ended up buying some of the outfits that they pieced together. And then, the following week, they would show a different type of a look for someone who liked yoga, and they featured other women, different sizes, and it just felt very personal to me. It resonated with me. It also appealed to what I wanted to become in my near future. I wanted to be physically fit. One of these days, I want to stand on my head. That part scares me. And then I just got into Pilates. So, and the reason why I got into Pilates is because of the outfits that Athleta was putting in front of me. Then, of course, once a month they send me an email that provides a very big discount. So that encourages me to buy from them. I think I spent $10,000 on Athleta last year. And I'm like a super fan of Athleta. So email marketing is what they used as a way to reach out to me. They saw the type of things I was buying. It's simple, right? And they started putting those things in front of me. So I was a segmented audience. The other thing that I liked about them was the customer service. I a few times I would buy a product, and then the next day I'd see there was a big sale. So I would call them and say, I just bought this jacket, and I saw that you have a sale today. Could you honor me, you know, and give me the discount? And they gave me a credit, no questions asked. Another time I bought my girlfriend a bunch of outfits. She was going to Utah to the Sundance Festival, and she likes my clothes. So I treated her for Christmas, and I bought her a pair of Sorel boots that Athleta featured with some really great outfits, but one of the jackets was unavailable. So Athleta called me, and they said, we found two stores. They're in New York. If you call them directly, they'll overnight it for you. I called the store in New York. They gave me the jacket. It was tons of discounts. And they shipped it out to Utah just in time for my girlfriend to get it. And so to me, that's just made me feel like they treated me like family. So people like to feel special. They like to feel that you care about them. And so, you know, it's up to each of you to define what a customer loyalty program is. But I pulled this off. The site is obviously the reference is below here, but loyalty360.com is a great site to go to learn a lot about loyalty programs. And I'm an idea generator. You know, I have yet to create my own loyalty program, but for me, because I understand social media as a relationship networking device, and it's about offering value and being consistent online and showing up and answering questions and being helpful, it's just second nature for me to develop a relationship with someone online based on how I engage and interact with individuals. So it's really important to understand your audience, what's going to resonate with them, create content that makes them feel like you care about them, personalize it. The other word is humanize yourself. I'm sure you've heard that throughout the whole conference. The four basic principles of customer retention: psychological, experiential. I am like a good walking example of this. Everyone who is looking at your product, they're looking for answers to their problems. And if they feel that you are a company or an individual that cares about them, they're going to sign up for your email, they're going to follow you on social media, and they're going to write reviews, and they're going to tell all their friends about you. It's just common sense. It's not fancy. It's just, to me, it's just common sense, how you treat people and how you want to be treated. And so before you begin your loyalty strategies, so you got to define your goals and objectives. Are you looking to increase engagement, foster retention, increase frequency? You know, conduct an extensive analysis of member behavior, social influence, and potential ambassador opportunities, and there are tools that can help you identify who they are. Develop a strategy and establish key performance indicators. And you might want to establish different KPIs for each channel that you're focusing on so that you can measure them appropriately. And of course, I incorporate human element into your marketing. And that requires engagement, following up, acknowledging people. People love shout outs. I can't tell you enough. When a celebrity makes a comment to me online on Twitter, that makes my day. Is it them? I don't know. It could be a marketing agency. But during Mad Men, if you've watched the show Mad Men, there was they developed the characters online on Twitter. And whenever the show came on, I would comment. And the people that were behind the Mad Men relationships, whatever you want to call it, they would talk back to me and say stuff to me and even flirt with me. I knew it wasn't, you know, the guy from Mad Men. I knew who it was. It was an agency, probably. But they were having so much fun with all of us. They were putting me in lists, you know, hot women to follow. I thought that was pretty nice. I'm in my 50s, so maybe you should say hot women in the 50s. But I felt so good about that when I was watching Mad Men, it made me participate real time, because, you know, they say now people are watching TV, but they're also on their iPhones. And I'm not a millennial, but I'm on my iPad and iPhone and TV. And my husband's like, do I have to pause this again? Because, you know, you're online. I go, honey, I'm tweeting. Leave me alone. But at the end of the day, you know, just, they made me feel special. And then what happened was, is everyone else that loved Mad Men started following me and engaging with me, and we were all talking about scenarios and what we hoped to accomplish. So that's an example of the real-time human making people feel special and acknowledging them. And I posted this the other day in my social media workshop, but I was blown away how much time people are spending on each of these channels. And this is every minute of the day. Instagram, 1 million. YouTube, 300. I think it's 300,000. But it doesn't matter. I mean, you don't need all 1 million people. But if you are on some of these channels at the right time of the day, putting some great content, running contests, putting your deals out there, making, you know, giving them a reward or an incentive to share your content and your specials, you know, you'll be impressed with the results. And then finally, I talk about the PCP method all the time, not to be mistaken for the drug, but you want the same kind of outcome. Social media is on 24/7, and you lose content very quickly on Twitter because it's like a stream that's constantly going. But if you're consistently showing up every day, engaging, participating in conversations, and you don't have to be online 8 hours a day, you just need to pick and choose what platforms you want to be involved in, like a tweet chat or a blab session. All of these, every little thing you do every day will accumulate, and it will create attraction. It will help drive awareness, form new relationships. Opportunities can come from that. And so it's just really important to, just be persistent and consistent with great content, with the way you treat people and the way you manage them. And just know that things do not happen overnight on social media. Relationships take time to build. Just like when you date someone, you just don't want to marry them the first day. You want to provide value, entertainment, and inform them, use humor, use emotional tactics to draw them in and help them get to know, like, and trust you. And then, as I said, over time, you'll start seeing results in terms of your campaigns. And final words, I already said this, so I don't need to go there. And the aha moment. Has anyone ever heard of micro moments? If you're reading online every day, and especially Google Analytics, Google Analytics defines micro moments when people are online conducting search. A lot of the times, these particular people, including myself, we will end up buying a product or a service that we would have never thought of because we found that particular item in the search results. And so most people buy from people they know, like, and trust, but then what happens is if you're optimized properly online and you're active in social media channels, you will get found in the local search results or in search results. And if your website's integrated properly with Instagram and Google Plus and whatnot, then what happens is people can stumble upon you in real time and they'll probably end up buying from you. So micro moments, you gotta leverage that, and I would learn more about that, how you can leverage micro moments so that you get found in search, because that's part of the end of the life cycle, right? If I wanna buy something, I'm ready to buy right now. So I thought that this was worth mentioning. And of course, treat others the way you wanna be treated. Be authentic, transparent, kind, approachable. Make sure that when people are sending you questions online, you have a way to get that notification using tools to send you alerts, because people want to be responded to quickly. And I think it's important to train your staff members, if they're going to represent you online, that they understand that they represent the company, that they need to live out their behavior online that matches the company's value and mission statement. So if they're upset with a client or a customer, they do not have authority to use your social media channels to tell them what they think of them. We gotta kill people with kindness. It pays off. I brought up some of these tools. Obviously, at the end of the day, everyone wants to be more organized and efficient. And I like using Hootsuite, but I brought up some other additional social media tools that will help you manage your time effectively, being able to schedule content, catch real-time alerts, and converse and participate in tweet chats. And then, of course, if you're looking for a decent customer service tool, Spark Central is a pretty good one, especially if you've got rotation staff. Oh, thank you. And, of course, the email marketing tools and customer service tools. My favorite analytic tools for social media, SumAll, CoolEngage and Google Analytics work hand in hand. CoolEngage gives you insight into your traffic, and it tells you how long they've lasted on your website. And this is just some social media engagement tactics and strategy. So I hope I gave you a pretty good overview in the 30 minutes that we were here. If you need to reach out to me, my information's on this slide, and I want to thank you for your time. Does anyone have questions?
One of my clients is a state politician, mm-hmm. and so we can kind of get it from all ends, and people are going to be unhappy with him from time
sure.
to time. Also, it happened yesterday, we get some interaction with other government agencies kind of bickering at each other, mm-hmm. city and state, that sort of stuff. How do you, what's your opinion on how to handle these sorts of things when some people are just not going to be happy with you, and we'll address that on social media, and even if they've got a platform that's pretty large as well.
I know, it's very difficult to receive negative content or feedback from individuals, but one of the things that I think will work really well is to acknowledge the negative feedback, but do it in a way that respects people's opinions, because everyone is unique, and they're entitled to their opinion, but you don't want to say you're entitled to your opinion, but the way I would handle that would be to address it in a respectful manner. And as far as the bickering from the other agencies, you know, you can turn that into a positive situation. I don't know, it might get heated, but maybe there could be an online platform where they can all talk to each other, just like you see on TV where all the news announcers they're very heated, but they're all talking, and they're sharing some ugly information. But at the end of the day, it's informational, and people love that, and they thrive on that. So you might want to come up with a strategy where he addresses them either live, like on a blab session, because you can have up to 4 people on at the same time, and, you know, people like to physically see you and hear you. That could be a great platform to address some of the bickering. But you have to also decide, is this going to hurt us, or is this going to make people like and trust me better? So, and again, I'm an idea generator. You have to try it, and you're taking a risk.
Right. Yesterday, they used some fairly inflammatory language towards my client. Mm-hmm. And so our discussion last night was, and we were on the phone for a while, was trying to figure, okay, do we respond to this at all, or do we address that? And mm-hmm. I mean, and I'll just tell you what they said was, they used the word oppression, and I'm from Alabama, and mm-hmm. that can mean a lot of things, specifically talking to a white legislator. Mm-hmm. And that was really where we got hung up. Do we even touch this at all?
Yeah, that is a tough one. I was going to say you might want to use humor, but maybe that's not appropriate because then they're going to think you're not taking them seriously. I'm not sure how to answer that. Have you thought about maybe talking to a social psychologist to get some insight into how to address people like that? I know they say that you're not supposed to deal with trolls because they want is to start fights with you. But are they trolls, or are they people with legitimate complaints? Is it legitimate? Is it fair? Is it worth addressing? Is it an opportunity to educate people, to inform people? Because you want to reflect his integrity, right? And you want to make him look good. So what's going to make him look good? What can he say to these people? Is it going to make a difference? And if you try and it looks like it increases the inflammatory comments, then I don't know what to say other than maybe you should say, I know that not everybody's going to agree, and we're not going to win this fight. I'm not going to win this with you, but I wish you well.
Hi. I actually want to comment on that because my office is South African tourism, right? And so we get an amount of what I like to call nonsense comments that come through anytime the wind blows a certain way on political things or things happening. And our approach is don't fan the flame. Especially if it has absolutely nothing to do with the business for us of tourism. If you're interested in something that the president's doing or what's happening in a certain place, you find to post that, and unless it is severely negative and has foul language or inappropriate pictures, we do not delete it in general, but we do not engage in that way because there's no way to win as far as we can tell. And then you're now not the person who necessarily is the authority on the subject, and you're drawn into the conversation, and that can be thrown back at you in different places. And so our approach to it is let crazy people do what crazy people do, and we do what we do over here.
I agree. You don't want to spend your energy and spin your wheels dealing with negative, nonsensical people. Because everyone has an opinion, especially when it comes to values and religion and whatnot, and you know you can't win that. So, you know, I don't even engage in even personal conversations as well, because I really just don't want to, I don't want to win someone over and change their mind about what they believe. And I always I listen and I say, wow, you know, that's an interesting point of view. But when it's negative and inflammatory, it's not even worth it.
Sometimes
unless it's
also
an educational opportunity.
Sometimes also what can be beneficial is to let the other people in the community be your advocate in that situation.
Yeah.
Especially for us, right? Then other people come in and say, hey, you don't know what you're talking about. This is actually not true. Or that didn't happen to me when I went there. And so you staying out of it as the brand and letting the advocates or the community have your back in a way can also sometimes quash
the... And I love that, because it's a lot of times I'll read content online and it's pretty, you know, controversial. And some people just say the dumbest, meanest things. And I just stand back and I see other people defending the individual, and I just love it. And a lot of times I'll hop in, it encourages me to hop in and say, well said, I agree with you. And then the more people do that, then it just kind of squashes out the negative person.
I feel like that girl. I've had a question every single session. I wanted to ask you about Facebook in general. One of the things I've taken away from the conference that's made me really happy is that Facebook is alive and well, and if it works for me, that I should stay there, because that's where my customers are, and that's where we're getting the engagement, and that's where we're making the connection. So I'm so thrilled to hear that. About a year ago, I had gotten a call from Facebook Business Services. It was like a check-in call, customer service end of it, just seeing how things were going. And I had a conversation with them at length, and it was the most valuable piece of social media advice I've ever been given. I kept them on the phone for like an hour. I cannot find a way to reconnect with them. You know, you can message in by email, et cetera, but I wondered if you had a phone number that you knew of, or if you know of a media conference I could attend that is just specialized specifically to Facebook.
I know that Facebook Business Services has its own website, and so if you go onto that website, you can reach out to them. They've called me too, and they've helped me with my Facebook ads and things like that, but there are people online that conduct webcasts that are very informative. They train you how to manage your Facebook page, especially from the ad side of things. And so you might want to connect with Amy Porterfield, Andrea Vahl, V-A-H-L, and Mari Smith. She is a doll. She's basically a Facebook, you know, the face of Facebook. She travels around the country now. So if you go to her Twitter or her Facebook page and ask to speak with her and talk to her, or even post your own questions there, she will be the one that, she actually has the inside connection to Facebook. So it's Mari Smith, and she's wonderful. I know her personally. She loves people, she loves to help people, and she's a great person to connect with. And then from there, she does free webcasts as well, and it's very informative. I mean, it helps with the business cycle and sales cycle. And
I just have one more quick one. Did you have one? Okay. Why do you love SumAll for your favorite analytics?
You know, there is no all-in-one analytic tool online for social media, but a lot of times I need to come up with a quick visuals for, like, how are things going on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, and Google Analytics. So Sumol sends me, I pay for the advanced package. They gave me a special $89 a month. And so I get two types of reports. And so I get the quick, how are my content doing on each of the channels, the clicks, the shares, the retweets, have I been listed, how many times I've been listed on Twitter, and then I get a Google Analytics, my traffic, where traffic's coming from, and then they share which content seems to be doing better. So it's just a quick snapshot, and I like Sumol. I know there's a new tool out in the market that competes with them, but I love Sumol, and they used to include other platforms, and they recently, I emailed them and asked them what happened to all the other channels that I had associated with Sumol, and they said that they were improving the platform, so eventually they're going to add more, like, I think right now I have Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and I think Google+, and my Google Analytics connected to Sumol. So it just saves me the time, and then I can add all my clients to it and then run reports and send it to them, and we go over all the analytics and what's working, what's not working, what we need to change. And they're really good. They send you an email with a PDF, so it's ready to go. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? I want to thank you all for putting up with me. I'm not a speaker by nature. I'm a trainer.
How do you feel about the need of urgency to respond and the positives and negatives of that?
I think it's important to respond within 24 hours, but if it's crucial and critical, you probably want to respond to the positives more, you know, you want to respond as quickly as you can. And so you don't want to ignore a comment for like 3 days or more. They're going to think there's a ghost. It's a ghost town. It's really important to be consistent online, but you have to decide what that looks like. To me, like if you're a bank, it's immediate. I worked with Wells Fargo in San Francisco, and it's immediate. And there's, you know, there's legal ways to respond. If you're a business, and they're asking you a question about your business or something like they need some kind of help within 24 hours. But as far as your situation, I say acknowledge the positives right away, and the negatives you need to assess if it's worth the response.
I was just thinking on more general in terms of running a business. Maybe as the social media manager for this company, I may not know the answer to, hey, are you guys still selling XYZ or what size does that come in? Mm-hmm. Is it better to just tell them, hey, well, I want to find out and let you know, or wait until I have the information that they need?
You always tell them that you're going to look into them and get back to them. And then if it's going to become a more of an elaborate conversation, I don't know, are they on Facebook or Twitter? How are they communicating with you?
Mostly Facebook.
Okay, so there's a way to turn on the email, or people can email you, and you can email them back from Facebook. And so elaborate conversations can be done privately in the email section of the Facebook page. Thank you very much. I really appreciate your time, and I wish you guys all the best.